All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We're going to go ahead and finish up the Hellraiser Masterpieces Volume 1. There's a Volume 2, and they didn't finish it, like they were going to do more, but they only did 2 volumes. I guess it didn't do so well. But if anybody requests the other volume, or you want me to do the actual comics, which I think are scans, I don't even know. I don't even think those were digitized. So, if anybody wants to, you know, if anybody wants me to go back and do those, let me know. You know, I read comments, I check them all the time, I respond all the time, so, you know, just let me know what you guys want. I think there's a guy hinting around that he wants more Vampirella. He even said that he'd give me the comics if I needed them. I mean, that's a great, generous offer. I mean, I know where to get comics when I need them. No problem with that. And I have more than enough material. But if I am missing some things, you know, it would help. But yeah, okay. I'll take that as you want more Vampirella. So I might slide some more in the week after next when we start November's comics week. Alright, so for now, let's go ahead and finish up our Halloween comics week with Dead Things Rot. Mike Mignola. Ah. Okay. Mr. Delming. Kaching. Mr. Delming. Oh, that's a kaching. Still a problem with that lock? I can fix that. It's what they pay me for. Handy and, you know. No, it's okay. You just have to know how to get the key in just right. I've got it. Suit yourself. It's what they pay me for, though. Building super handy Andy Farrell is a man who enjoys his work. Same for Gardner Delming. Click. Doesn't matter. He's been unemployed for the past 6 months. All the same, Gardner's been a busy man. Flip. I'm not listening, so all of yous may just as well stay quiet. Not that that bothers him. I want to hear what the other one's got to say tonight. Click! Budget cuts plaguing the city, forcing drastic reductions. Fact of the matter, he'd like the opportunity to be even more productive. Administration warns residents to expect everything from... Someone's in the kitchen with Gardner. Gardner Delming's in what you might call a service industry. Someone's in the kitchen, I know... Providing to a growing list of satisfied customers, including a severe increase in New York's vermin population. In the kitchen with soups on. They must be a happy clientele. No one ever complains. Authorities express increasing concerns that recent serial type killings in Connecticut may have extended into New York State. Police officials working with the FBI Behavioral Sciences Unit have established links between recent city slayings and the Connecticut murderer. Good Lord. Tell me something I don't know. Known best by the tabloid's label of the parts is parts killer, what else is new? For the trademark removal of body parts from his victims. You're boring me. Authorities speculate. Oh, shut up. Are you going to let me down too? Maybe the others don't want to broadcast it to the world. But you can just whisper it in my ear. Just to me. Clink, clink, tell me what to do with all. Excuse me, tell me what to do with them all. Clink, clink, I've got 10, so many. Excuse me, let me get that right. I've gotten so many. Now tell me what to, quiet up there. I can't hear myself think with all your, please, just a whisper. Get me the hell out of here. I want out, 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 out. Your desires were once much more complex, Thorndyke. How tragic they've been reduced to this tired litany. You righteous bastard, Winky Dink. I wanted nothing. I wasn't due. I led many by the hand to your god, Leviathan. And this is my reward? It wasn't fair. I was lied to, clown. Well, of course, we certainly couldn't expect to claim you for our own if we told you the truth. Right. Please, I've done well by your order in the past. Give me the opportunity to do so again. A final truly horrible soul to add to your collection, and all I ask in return is my life back. Can we not consider, Master? Is there no room for mercy? compassion, Agathian. How delightfully pathetic. Scritch! You instilled a sense of sympathy in my pet Thorndyke, forced me to end its excusable life. I didn't. It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. Oh, please, enough with your whining. There's only so much torment even a Cenobite can take. Your role in Agathian's destruction has impressed the sadist in me. Not that there's much else, mind you. Well, what is it you're trying to... We have a bargain, Thorndyke. Choose your soul carefully. Yes, living. I'm out. Out, 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 out. Mr. Delming, still putting up with that lock? I can fix that. It's what they pay me for. You must be sick at the sound of my voice on it at this point. What do you say? Let me at it. Thanks, but you just have to know how to work it. Excuse me. You just have to know how to work. I've got it. Being sick of Handy Andy Farrell's voice isn't an issue. Gardner Delming doesn't even hear it. Not when there's another voice already filling his head. Gardner's own evil gave him a direction in life. You get another chance tonight. Click! But the voice, that rumbling, eager voice welling up raw and red from below, gave him a mission. Didn't disappoint. Manhunt, centering on the infamous parts. The parts is parts killer. Yeah, he's the parts is parts killer, which is a weird name, right? They don't know the half of it, do they? Victims currently numbering in the dozens, not like us. I brought you what you asked. What you told me. Zip! Look at me. Like a kid or something, so eager to please. Hope you appreciate it. Where do you want this one? Press conference today where police address the growing concerns of the community. What's next? I've done all I can. I need you for the rest. Please tell me. New leads helping to close the net around the killer. That's not it. Though some officials remain pessimistic, certain sources at one police plaza predict an arrest within the week. Why are you telling me this? That's no help. Scrash! That's not goddamn helping. Please, you've been so good to me. Tell me how many more. Just tell me what's still missing. Clink, clank, click, click. Thank you. Mr. Delming? I was around and thought I'd try you again on that lock. I mean, come on. It's what they... Oh, sweet Jesus. I know. It's what they pay you for. You work too hard, Andy. You deserve a break. Okay, everybody, all together now. All together now. I'm sorry, I'll be serious. You don't say? It's quite a mouthful, so to speak. No one else knew how to listen, but I did. All those parts in the wrong places, with the wrong people, needing to be put together right. They've got it all wrong. It's not about death, it's about it's not about death, it's not destruction, it's creation. You're him, the one with the voice. You've given me so much, Gardner. Open a world to me. I was just... The least I can do is return the favor. Well, This gentleman has traded you into eternal damnation, Mr. Delming. Which I might point out is quite simply the least of your worries. Brings back memories, doesn't it, Thorndyke? I prefer not to think about it, clown. You made an excellent choice in Mr. Delming. His experience will be of great service to Lord Leviathan's campaign against the flesh. A fine speech. I'm sure you voiced a similar sentiment when your chains first pierced my skin. You have no idea how it saddens me so, Thorndyke, to hear you speak of our time together in the past tense. Still, you deserve a final word of caution, for old time's sake. Keep your own counsel, Cenobite. I just want out before the authorities arrive looking for Delming. Out, out, out! Clutch, clutch! Lock stuck. Gah! What's the matter with... I offered. You offered nothing but lies! You've cheated me again, demon. Hardly. You have what you asked for out of our deal. Fingers can't grip. Ah, the slick consequence of decomposition. I don't need your rhetoric. Just physician, get myself help. I'll have my life. You do have your life, Thorndyke. But your new body's made from the dead, and dead things rot. To prepare a face. Okay. All right, that was a crazy one. The face. I needed Fagin's face. The face was the mirror of the spirit. Without the face, I had nothing. Nothing of the man. That night, I'd have sold my soul for the unique combination of paint and pencil that rendered Fagin's contemptuous eyes in my mirror. To prepare a face. We would begin filming Oliver Twist the next morning. Fagin, Dickens, miscreant, Jew. Where was he? Where was his face? Why did it always have to be this way? Why did I always have to endure this torment? Why must I be the one to shoulder the burden of obsession? Knock, knock. Nobody's home but us ghosts. Go away. Room service. Somebody in here order a drink? It was Patty. She'd seen me this way before. She knew the hell I was going through. What do you think? Is it Fagin? Well, it could be. I know. I detest it, too. I need Fagin, Patty. I need to get inside his skin. Can't you fake it just this once? Who'll know? They'd all know. Every pair of bright eyes in that dark house. The camera makes a lover out of every one of them. They'd know. You can bet on that. Keep the bottle. If anyone asks for me, tell them I'm out, looking for Fagin. Then I'll see you both tomorrow morning, bright and early. Your optimism inspires us all, Patricia. I haunted the streets in morning desperation. Every role demands an inroad, a gesture, a costume. Anything may provide an actor the access he needs to a character's mind. My inroad was always, had been, the face. It's a little blurry. I scrutinized every face that passed, hoping to see the one I needed. Peering, searching, praying for the briefest glimpse of my Fagin. Patty knew I'd never fake it, not like some actors I could name. But without the face, I was nowhere. Without the face, I was lost, drifting, rudderless in uncharted seas. By degrees, the streets emptied and fell silent. Soon I would face that hideous, all-seeing eye. It would stare into my hollowness, and I would stand naked, my fraudulence exposed to the world. Pardon me! I barely glimpsed his face as he passed. In an instant, he was gone, swallowed by the shadows. Fagin! He couldn't have gone far. If only he'd known how badly I needed him, and his face! The alley led to a mannequin shop. From the open door, a soundless explosion of light poured out, blinding. And when it subsided, I found the man's corpse, a lifeless shell among lifeless shells. Whoever killed him and cut off his face removed it with the skull of a demented surgeon. Damn you! You knew what I needed, didn't you? I don't know how, but you knew! I screamed every epithet I knew at Fagin's murderer. If I'd found him, I'd have strangled him with my bare hands. And then I saw it, dangling from the daintily poised hands of a mannequin, there suspended at the ends of delicate wooden fingers. Fagin's face draped like a mask, like a rubber Halloween mask, an offering. There was no coincidence. Someone's watching me, observing, teaching. It was still warm and soft, very soft, and yet there was an energy to it. I could feel an electrical tingle as I pressed it to my cheek. My heart beat wildly. I was saved! One second, folks. You ever see anything like that? 13 weeks and it's still packing them in. You suppose it's really that good? People love to cry. It's a real tearjerker. You seen it? I've seen it. I've seen them all. I guess you could say I'm kind of a movie buff. I'll tell you who owns the screen. It's the guy who plays Fagin. What's his name? I know the man with a million faces. Never looks the same from one flick to the next. That's him. People start hissing the minute he comes on screen. Damn, nice performance. Powerful. Speaking of faces, you got any leads on the guy that killed the Jew who ran the dummy shop? It's gotta be some nutcase doing that to his face and all. Weirdest damn thing. Whoever killed him didn't take a dime. Just the face. That's all. My landlady, she saw that flick. She swears Fagin looks just like the deceased. Spitting image, she says. So think about it. Two Jews, the face cut off, and that actor, a master of disguise. You're sick, you know that? What are you telling me? That a famous Hollywood actor killed the Jew and cut off his face to make a movie? You're the detective. I'm just telling you what I heard. I'll look into it. Hardest part was getting used to the smell of preservative. Another man's face literally worn over my own. A little touch-up, the usual artifice, and I became Fagin, I wondered. Why hadn't they shown me this before? So it was no coincidence that your Fagin resembled the shopkeeper? Not at all. I'd seen him. I'd visited his shop. He had an interesting face. Had is right. I stole it, I admit, with my pencil and a bit of drawing paper, some rubber, a little spirit gum, some paint. These are the tools of my trade, not knives and scalpels. Of course, well, I've taken enough of your time, I don't suppose. Of course I was happy to sign his book. I would have to go further afield next time. The next face was difficult, but it was a starring role. Not that I'd been shown the trick. Excuse me. Now that I'd been shown the trick, I couldn't let it go. Dementia was leading me on, I knew that. But dementia in service to the actor's art, I was mad. But there was a method to my madness. I took a ship to England on the pretext of visiting a cousin. For this new role, I needed a face both noble and repulsive. A face that could make a woman scream or weep with pathos. Outside the wagon, an old woman was washing dishes, or no, she was bathing. I couldn't tell what it was. Was it a child or an animal? She rinsed the child, which I still could not quite see, and I heard its happy gurgling cry as the water splashed its features. I moved closer. The chill, the damp, long, tortuous journey across the ocean, all were rewarded as I beheld the visage of the thing in the basin. The body was white and utterly without limbs, worm-like, almost sexless, but the face commanded my attention, the pathetically misshapen face. The limbless body convulsed helplessly while I submerged the head. Oh, excuse me, hold on. We forgot one. The woman left to fetch water, leaving the wretched thing alone in its bath. I acted quickly. The limbless body convulsed helplessly while I submerged the head. Its desperate guttural dying noises were swallowed in the morning mist. A tragic accident. The old woman wept, blaming herself for the tragedy. Oops, hold on. Let's see here. The service was short, and the carnival soon moved on. That night I exhumed the corpse. The poor freak I had murdered would, in a way, find immortality as my greatest screen portrayal to date. Quasimodo, the unforgettable hunchback of Notre Dame. Esmeralda took pity on the beast, and once again the water flowed over that delirious and simple face. The pleasure I felt at that moment was indescribable. Aye, that man, that face, he is my son, my Henrique. It was not uncommon for women to shriek on first seeing the hunchback's face. Some, I am told, actually had to be ushered from the theater. This has been a great break for me, Patty. Imagine me, headlining after so many years at the bottom of the bill. It's as if I'd been struggling with some giant puzzle all this time, and the last piece has finally dropped into place. I'm very happy for you, honestly. I've wanted to marry you for so long, but I never dared to ask. Now I feel as if I could lick the world. So tell me, will you marry me, Patty? I don't know what to say. I never realized. It's Norman, you see. He proposed, and I said yes. I'm very fond of you, but it's Norman that I love. Norman, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. You do understand that, don't you? Yes. Norman played Captain Phoebus de Chateaupers in the film The Man Who Commands Esmeralda's Love. Yes, I well understood the ways of a woman's heart. Never mind my selfless devotion. Never mind the way I suffered for you, that I gave my very life to save yours. Look only at the face, Esmeralda, and never mind the soul of a man. I understand, Patricia. Of course I do. I owed much to my misshapen friend. Now it was time to storm away and consider the demands of my next role. For this one, even he was too handsome. This time I would have to improvise. The film was Phantom of the Opera. I would star as the deformed creature Eric, and Norman would again play the dashing hero, the Vicomte Raoul de Chagny, or Chagny, I don't know, or so it was written. I've been thinking, darling. What if we postpone announcing our engagement until the new film is released? It'd be fabulous publicity. Patty, people get engaged for love, not to sell movie tickets. But you know I love you. What's wrong with killing two birds with one stone? Maybe we should talk about it later in private. Norman, I can't tell you how happy I am for you. She's much too good for you, you know. Don't I know it? I'm glad there's no hard feelings. Of course not. You must come to my dressing room for a celebratory drink. Besides, there are a few things I want to discuss. Are a few things I want to discuss concerning the film. Have a seat. tell me, what do you think of these drawings? They're only preliminary sketches, but I'm rather pleased so far. My God, and the women screamed when they saw Quasimodo. The ushers will be carrying them out on stretchers when you're unmasked. Are you sure you want to be so bold? Quite. This just came for you, Murray. From England. Scotland Yard. This'll interest you. You remember that inquiry we received from the Yard about the Hunchback of Notre Dame? You mean the lady who saw the flick in London and swore the Hunchback was her dead son? Right, the carnival lady. I wrote back and suggested that they exhume the son's corpse. Well, they dug him up. It says here that the coffin... Okay. Coffin had been broken into. The woman saw the body and went into hysterics. Jesus, somebody cut off his face. Won't you have another drink? No thanks. That first one went straight to my head. Empty stomach, I guess. I feel... Now we begin. When Norman woke, I explained to him about Eric the Phantom. You see, Eric was impelled to murder by his love for Christine. He spent long weeks and months training her, creating the woman that your character Raoul de Chagny so admired. And Christine loved the Phantom, as long as he spoke only from the shadows. When she beheld his monstrous face, her love turned to horror. How would Patty feel about you, I wonder, if your handsome features were somehow destroyed? Would her love remain true? Or would she recoil from the very sight of you as Christine was repelled by Eric, as Esmeralda by the Hunchback? Your acting is wooden, Norman. And your posture... Excuse me. Your posture and strut across the... Excuse me. Let me try that again. You posture and strut across the screen like a peacock. Your acting suffers because your soul is not... They came through the gates of hell to show me the secret. They knew I had the drive to use it. Now I'm going to share it with you, Norman. You will appear on screen, my friend, and you will deliver the performance of a lifetime. But you'll not do it as the handsome Raoul, but as the tortured Eric, Phantom of the Opera. Go ahead and scream. No one will hear. Bam, bam, bam. I will animate your flesh. My sweat will issue through your pores. My muscles will give expression to your hideous features. Bam, bam, bam. I knew I could never find a face as terrible as Eric's, that I would have to manufacture one. This is a great honor I bestow upon you. Bam, bam, bam. Hold it, you. Police. Christ, what are you doing? What's in that bottle? Crash. No, leave me alone. This couldn't be happening. How had they found out? Didn't they know what they were doing? Easy does it, Buster. Back away slowly. Easy does it now. You idiots, you're destroying the performance of the ages. There will never be a Phantom to equal mine. I'll kill you before I let you ruin that. That was when you came for me. What in the hell? You're the one, my teacher. Come. I wish I could have seen their faces when you took us away. I had to leave Fagin and Quasimodo behind, unfortunately. Since then, I've added considerably to my collection. Luckily, they don't seem to putrefy here. I have a face for every occasion, one for every mood. Very nice. You've adapted well. Leviathan is pleased. I've been using staples to fasten them on, but I've grown rather inured to the pain. I've started thinking about screws. The end. The Devil's Absolution. Okay. Summer 96. Or excuse me, 1966. The Mas des Dendettes near Marseille. I'm not French. First we'll drink a pastis, Aldo. Then we'll talk. Whatever you say, Mame? Merci, Adele. So why'd you want to see me? Because you're a pig, Aldo. I wouldn't feed your carcass to my dogs. You've been selling drugs inside France, against my orders. The family needs to move with the times, Mame. Je te plumerai. Your conscience is out of date. Sit down, Aldo. I'm still le patron. Maybe you're out of date too. Maybe we need new blood. New dark. Bam! Bam! Jette de plumere. La tête. Bam! Merci, Fernand! Now get rid of this garbage. Au revoir, mi ami. Anne, where are you, my Pichon? Ah, there you are. Alouette. Why are you hiding from your puppy? Should we play cache-cache? Your grandpapa has finished with his business. Come on to the terrace. We'll watch the sunset together. What were you singing just now, Alouette? Alouette, gentle Alouette. I know that one. Let's sing it together. Malibu, California, 92. Anne, darling, come here. Here I am, John. Meet Eric's new lady, Bambi. Bambi, this is the exquisite Anne. Hi, Eric's told me lots about you. You're from Texas, right? I could never get rid of this dumb old accent. Great party. Ha ha. Great Q rating. Let's talk about, my lawyer says. Can we go home soon? I'm tired. Not yet, honey. There's something special planned for later. But everyone's leaving. I told you. It's for special people only. Let's go in. It's almost time. Why won't anybody tell me? Oh, I get it. Wow, my first Hollywood orgy. Are the faithful prepared? They await you, master. Make ready the lamb. Hey, let go of me. What are you guys trying to do? What are you guys trying to pull? I don't do bondage. Shut up, flesh. Slap. Thou, who abruptly as a knife did come into my life to make my spirit thy space, I summon the old worm face. Thy call is answered. Where is thy gift? No! Alouette, gentle Alouette. Holy shit, there's some gore. The Mazda Pinetas. Oh, it's Pinetas, not Dendetas. I know you're retired, but I still need your advice, Meme. The business ain't the same these days, full of punks that ain't got no honor. Even Nazis again. You fought those bastards 50 years ago. What's the world coming to? We never went after anyone who wasn't a player. Today there's only chaos. Why, Meme? Because we knew the difference between good and evil, Ferdinand. We did what we had to do to survive. We went to church, taught our kids about morality. No one touched the drugs. But you didn't come to listen to an old man fart in the wind. It's about your Pichon. I know you worry about her. There's this guy in Vegas who owes me one, so he keeps an eye on her for me. She's made some bad friends, Mime. Very bad friends. So what should I do? Tell the Vegas guys to fix things? No! This is family business. Only one of the family can fix it. I will go. Alone? Alone. So I told him, doing lunch is so 80s, putting a climbing wall into the office. I really think the concept has legs. I can't guarantee anything before the research comes in, but I like it. Who's this Cindy John talking to? The network's new great white pope. Ha ha! Make ready the lamb. What? No! You can't do this to me. Why not? You played your part. Now the time's come for you to leave the stage. No! Cindy will be my new leading lady to the most dreaded, the most dear angel in his deathless grail, who fill my life with radiance, clear and immortality. All hail! No! Thy call is answered. Where is thy gift? Your little lamb's all ready. I'll carve the bitch up. Yay! Bam! Bam! Do not touch my petite, Phil! Honey, your puppy is coming to take you. Come to take you home! How dare you interfere with me, old man! Great one, I command you to make this fool fear your presence. But, you think he cares? Imbeciles! To him, you're pigs, meat animals, just like the Nazis. And you'll die like them! Bam! I know your kind. You don't frighten me. Indeed, what do you want? My granddaughter, she doesn't belong with you. But she does. My worms have tasted her soul. Very well. Anything else? Papi! Allons my petit! C'est fini! I want that as well! Great one, I've served you well. You can't... Thump! I cannot leave without my gift. The girl is yours, but you are mine! Not this time! Bam! 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 Vane's Pichone, time to go home. Klaus's box, who'd have thought? Why did you come for me after all this time? There was no other choice, your family. Why did you do these terrible things, Annie? Didn't you understand the cost to your mortal soul? How can you talk about the cost? Excuse me, how can you talk about the cost? The first time I saw you kill a man, I was only 8. Afterwards, we sang Alouette. My pauvre petite, what have I done? The violence inside you hung over the house like a fog. I couldn't breathe. I had to escape. John was good to me. He took care of me. He was strong. He reminded me of you. Non! Ce n'est pas ça! I've made atonement. I've given to the church. Pas vrai, I guess. The priest has absolved me. Isn't that enough? Marseille. No! No, don't! What's wrong? It's all right. She had a nightmare. Again? Papi, I'm sorry. It's all right, Pichonette. Go back to sleep. Dr. Armand will be back tomorrow. But maybe it is I, not he, who must find your cure. Come out of there. I want to talk to you. What will it cost to free my petite of her nightmares? You already know the price. You want revenge because I shot you? On the contrary, that merely makes you a more desirable morsel. Bon, I understand you've got yourself a deal. Maybe an absolution from hell will succeed where the church has failed. I am yours, Cenobite. You always were. Papi, no, don't do it. Keep her out of here. Désolé, mademoiselle. Les ordres du patron. No, no. I was always the source of her pain. When a branch is rotten, it must be cut. She'll be free now, won't she? Perhaps. But for you, nothing exists but a gulf of fathomless despair. You shall let Leviathan's glory set your heart afire. You shall learn the true delight that cannot rot. You shall obey. I will not.
They're gone. Oh, Papi. Je ne comprends pas le patron. Oui, est-il? I forgive you, Papi. Why are you hiding from your Papi? Should we play cache? Come on the terrace. We'll watch the sunset together. What were you singing just now? Alouette? I know that one. Let's sing it together. Alouette, gentle Alouette.
Okay, Clive Barker. So, yeah, it says right here, visionary, fantasist, author, poet, painter. No one word is adequate to describe Clive Barker, who for more than 25 years has expanded the reaches of human imagination as a novelist, director, screenwriter, dramatist, and artist. An inveterate seeker, Barker traverses between styles with ease, from lucid dreamscapes to visceral horror to existential drama to pansexual erotica. Barker has had a hand in a range of projects that reflect his grasp on the creative potential in contemporary media. At its core, Barker's work has always shown an unswerving commitment to spinning a good yarn. He began his odyssey in the London Theatre, scripting original plays for his nomadic theatre group, The Dog Company. Some of these works include The History of the Devil, Frankenstein in Love, and Crazy Face. Shortly thereafter, Barker turned his hand to writing intensely visual short stories. They were published in 6 volumes as The Books of Blood, and their contents have provided the raw material for several immensely popular movies, including Candyman, The Midnight Meat Train, The Book of Blood, and Dread. In 1987, Barker took on a whole new challenge by adapting his novella The Hellbound Heart into a film called Hellraiser, which became an instant cult classic, spawning multiple sequels, comic books, and an array of merchandise which elevated the demonic torturer Pinhead into a character haunting the worldwide collective landscape. In 1990,
Barker adapted his acclaimed novella Cabal into the film Nightbreed, and again marked the cinematic landscape in 94 by directing another adaptation of an original story into the film Lord of Illusions. As a writer, Barker persisted in defying expectation, winning a generation of fans with such best-selling fantasies as The Damnation Game, Weave World, Imagica, Everville, The Thief of Always, Sacrament, Galilee, and Mr. Be Gone, which is great. The first of five illustrated novels and its most ambitious project to date, the Aberrant series, was released in 2002, that's actually for young adults, with book 3, Absolute Midnight, due on shelves in fall 2021. Most recently, Barker teamed with Boom Studios to revisit the mythology of Hellraiser in a new comic series. As much a visualist as a wordsmith, Barker frequently turns to the canvas to fuel his imagination. He has had hugely successful exhibitions across America, and his neo-expressionist paintings have been showcased in three large-format books, Clive Barker, Illustrator, Volumes 1 and 2, and Visions of Heaven and Hell. What gives Barker's work its strength, bringing audiences across the world back to his alchemical cosmos over and over again, is his passion for color, for words, for life, and his belief in the collective unconscious, its power to inspire, terrify, and ultimately heal. And that's it, guys. All right, we're done with Hellraiser Masterpieces. And if anybody wants me to do that out of the volume, slip it in, just let me know and I'll do it. But that's the last one we have, unless you guys really want me to go back and do the old comics. But at any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'll be out for Grimm's Spooky Comics Corner with Hellraiser Masterpieces.